whatever I like. Now just change clothes. Hello, hello. This is Brooke Devard, and you're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. It is the first Monday in May, May 6th, the biggest night in fashion, the Met Gala, the Met Ball, global superstars from across fashion, sports, culture, music come together for this annual fundraiser to benefit the Metropolitan Museum's Costume Institute. This is an event that I have followed closely for as long as I can remember. Pre-social media, you all have to remember, I interned at Vogue magazine after my freshman year of college, 2008. I also interned in 2009. I have always been obsessed with the Met Ball. It's like this break from the mundane. It is pure fantasy glamour, aspirational glamour, and it is largely considered the most prestigious event in the entire world. It started as a very small dinner party, a supper. It was like a midnight supper, and it has grown every single decade into the phenomenon it is today. Anna Wintour, who is, of course, the editor-in-chief of Vogue, has really elevated the Met Ball into this global phenomenon that it is today. We now see tech sponsors coming in, like Instagram and TikTok, and it's now live-streamed. The red carpet is live-streamed. We get to watch people come down the carpet in real time. It is one of those events where you are just glued to your phone. We never see what happens inside, though. There's a full social media blackout inside the gala. We see the next day. Vogue releases the official photos, but we do know there is always a musical performance. Cher has performed, Rihanna's performed, Lady Gaga's performed, but the carpet is the main event. That is why we all watch. Guests collaborate with designers and glam squads to interpret the Met Gala's theme every year. I'm just going to list some of the previous Met Gala themes. So 2013 was punk, chaos to couture. That was one of my favorites. 2016 was Manus Ex Machina, fashion in an age of technology. 2018, Heavenly Bodies, fashion and the Catholic imagination. 2019, Camp, notes on fashion. 2023 was an ode to Karl Lagerfeld. So every year they have a specific theme, and this year's theme and dress code is the Garden of Time, and the Costume Institute's associated show is Sleeping Beauty's A Reawakening of Fashion. Now, the Garden of Time theme is so exciting to me because it can be interpreted so many different ways, and that's what makes the red carpet fun to watch. How are people going to take this theme, Garden of Time, and make it come to life? I talked to my guests on this episode about some ideas I have, but I think we're going to see lots of references to florals, of course. I also think we're going to see some fairies, and I think a few people will reference time itself. Maybe we'll see watches worn as chokers around the neck. I would love to see someone interpret an actual hourglass. And the beauty lover in me wants to see florals in the hair. I want to see florals on the face. I want to see people work with organic materials. But when it comes to beauty, we really have to give credit to the glam squads who make the fantasy of the Met Ball come to life. And we are so incredibly lucky in this very episode to hear from those artists themselves. You'll get to hear from them what it is like to create for the Met Ball. We have got a packed episode, and this is honestly the perfect companion for your Met Monday morning. We are going to hear from Vogue's Chloe Mal, who, in addition to being a longtime Vogue.com editor, co-hosts the Run Through with Vogue. So if you listen to the Run Through with Vogue, this is the Run Through with Vogue Naked Beauty collaboration. I know we have a lot of the same listeners. You're going to hear from Sir John, who has done quite a few Met Balls with Miss Queen Bee herself. We're going to hear from hairstylist Nikki Nelms, friend of the show. You've seen her work on the red carpet before. Zoe Kravitz, some of Zoe Kravitz's best Met Gala hair looks. That was all Nikki. She also does incredible things with Janelle Monáe. We're going to hear from the very talented Jawara, who's done hair for the Met Gala for Anouk Yai, Paloma El Cesar, Solange Knowles. And by the way, he and Nikki are both doing hair this year for this Monday, so stay tuned for that. And then we talked to my friend and former colleague, Christy Dash, over at Instagram, who's been at the helm of beauty partnerships for the platform for years. And we really get into why this event feels so urgent to consume in real time. And I also share a little bit why I am in New York and what I will be doing Monday night, which is very exciting. There's so much goodness in this episode to get into. I hope you all love it and enjoy it. Please share it on social. Subscribe if you're not subscribed. Let's get into the conversations.
Up first. You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
First, we're going to hear from Vogue.com editor Chloe Mao.
Okay, so we're 5 days out. Do you get excited every time? Are you a little bit jaded? Does the first Monday of May still elicit feelings of like, oh my gosh, it's happening?
I have to be honest. I woke up last night at 4 a.m. and was suddenly like, wait, if so-and-so is doing the live blog, who's going to post this story about that person's dress that they were also writing? Like the panic of being an admiral for all of these different, I mean, we're producing 100 Vogue.com posts over 48 hours, and it is just
100.
Really, yes. And it's just a very daunting to make sure everyone has all the information they need. Also, we're sharing it with our global network. So we have 10 owned and operated Vogues around the world, and there is a robust sharing operation, syndication, translation. So it's just, it's a big military style operation.
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's like asset sharing, information sharing. You're not sleeping, I would imagine. You know what it reminds me of? When you see people prepping for election night, you know, like when people are totally prepping for election night and staying up all night and watching the polls.
There's not a lot of rest time, I would say.
Yes.
We have a war room. We have a sort of newsroom at the Met in the basement. And yes, we have about 50 staff members down there positioned on laptops, churning out content while the live stream is sort of projected. And everyone is doing breakout stories on people's outfits. We're looking to see what people are searching for. So we then do a breakout sort of theme to that trend that people are looking at. It is very funny. Like last year, everyone was downstairs in the war room, and there is this disconnect between the gala
fabulous
upstairs,
party. Yes.
Yeah, and everyone working their ass off downstairs. And last year at the end of the red carpet, my colleague very funnily describes hearing screams, and they all in the newsroom were like, oh, Rihanna's finally here. And it turned out there was a cockroach on the red carpet.
Oh, so, I remember that. A very famous cockroach.
The screams were not Rihanna. They were bug screams. But it was like the guessing game of what are we hearing?
I have to ask, this year's theme, Garden of Time, it's very exciting. I put on my Dries Van Noten floral.
Oh, I love that. Your florals.
I'm getting into that headspace. I'm so curious about how you think about this year's theme and also how it correlates with the exhibition, Sleeping Beauties, the reawakening of fashion. There's a big sustainability message, I feel like, here.
So Anna has been joking that she has a cardinal rule, which is that you have to be able to understand the exhibition theme in one word. Camp, divinity, Karl Lagerfeld, China, and that she broke her cardinal rule this year. And you definitely don't have that for this. I think a lot of us took a minute to really wrap our heads around this. But I have to say, Andrew Bolton, who is the curator of the Costume Institute, is so brilliant. And I've looked at the exhibition catalog. I have not yet seen the exhibition. I think they're in the middle of installing it now. But it is this kind of spectacular mishmash of themes. So it's archive fashion reanimated through technological ability or through technological capacities, sort of curated with the guardrails of nature and the elements. So you have sort of the flora and fauna, water, fire. There's a whole bug part. There's these really, it's just beautifully and sumptuous imagery, and it's really done beautifully. For example, there's like an X-ray machine that they're using for antique hats. So you get to see the boning and how the hats are constructed. There's amazing sort of magnifying glasses that are showing how this Louis XIV embroidery is done. So it really is using technology to open people's eyes to fashion in a way that they hadn't been able to before, which I have to say, as all of us in media are facing this existential dread about AI, and it's nice to have moments when you're like, oh, this is where AI is actually helpful and sort of helps us understand our world better rather than sort of taking away our editorial capacity.
Right, right. And also just hearing you talk about it, it's so much deeper than a floral gown, right? It's like there's an opportunity to really say something about time, organic materials, and again, kind of taking these old techniques of fashion and bringing them forward. I know, of course, you can't talk about who will be at this year's Met. We'll all be awaiting eagerly on Monday. But I want to talk about the men for a moment, because I feel like the men have really been stepping it up, and we've been seeing Like, just I'm like excited about seeing men more on the carpets, take risks. Well, how do you think men are going to be interpreting this theme?
I'm really curious. I heard about one guest who is inspired by like a historic gardener, and he was taking that in. I don't know what that's going to look like or mean. Like, is he going to have a watering can? I'm just, I have questions. I look forward to seeing them answered in real time. I'm not playing coy. I truly don't know what that's going to look like, but that was one thing. It has been interesting along the lines of this theme being a bit opaque to see and just hear from different fashion houses and different celebrities, the different ways. It's like a Rorschach test to see how people interpret this. Like, one person is like, well, it's about fragility, the fragility of fashion, so I'm going to wear a dress that looks like glass. Another person was like, well, it's about time, I'm going to, you know, have my dress be like, you know, inspired by a clock. A lot of people are doing florals of all kinds, 3D florals, pop florals. People are doing bugs or the, you know, the natural world. I do think that the fact that the exhibition so celebrates archived fashion and the fragility of fashion is, in a way, it feels ironic because it's about, we can't actually wear these clothes, so we're going to see how to understand them through technology. But it has actually inspired people to wear a lot of vintage. So we're hearing about a lot of amazing vintage looks that people are going to be bringing out. And that's also an interesting debate. Some people feel like vintage shouldn't be worn.
I was going to ask about that.
The Kim Kardashian Maryland dress was a huge kerfuffle. Should she have worn it? Did it affect the dress? Was that hurting a relic or an archive piece? And so I think we'll see some of that debate more, because there are definitely some major and precious pieces that are going to be making their appearance on that carpet.
Yes. Yes. And it's interesting also, TikTok being the title sponsor this year. Do you think will we see creators at the Met this year?
That's a good question. I'm again, not being coy, I actually don't know how many or how few. I know that that's been a negotiation. I'm sure there will be some. Yes.
Yes. Interesting. What does your Met Gala prep look like? Are you all sorted? Do you have your full look? Do you have everything set up?
I was talking to a colleague about this. We're working so much in like pre-Met and also on the day of that. It should be really fun to get ready for the Met Gala. But for me, I'm like, God damn it. I have to get my makeup done. I have to get my hair done. I don't have time for this shit. And it should be this like, you know, treat. And so, yes, we have our amazing beauty editor, Margo Ambuba, was very gracious. I truly was like booked the dry bar next to my house just to be
Chloe, for the Met.
Well, I just needed to have it. And Margo was like, absolutely not. So she
thank you, Margo, for stepping in.
Yeah, she organized for me to have my hair done by this amazing woman, Lorraine. I thought Margo would like find some, you know, junior hair assistant to help me out. And she connects me with this woman who founded Devachan Curl brand.
Oh my gosh.
Lorraine Massey. So Lorraine is doing my hair curly. And
Lorraine created the curly girl method. She's like an icon in the world of curly hair.
I didn't realize that until I was connected with her. I was like, oh my God, Margo, this is a celebrity moment.
Yes, it is.
Lorraine is doing my hair. I'm very excited.
That's going to be the curls with, I don't know what you're going to be wearing, but I feel like the curls really lends itself to like garden and organic materials.
That's what we thought. Nice. I also, I so want nice. To do like hair ornaments because I like a yes. hair ornament. So yes. I am having fun with that.
And it's a long night, but it's such a special night. So why do you think the Met Gala, what separates it from every other event, every other carpet? Like, what makes the Met Gala this thing? Because for this episode, I've been interviewing hairstylists and makeup artists that get people ready for the Met. And they talk about it as like the Olympics. They're like, this is like our ultimate event.
Totally. I don't know what it is. I give Anna full credit. The Met Gala brings out the crazy. Like, people just are amped up. Like, I also think it's because, and we've been talking about this a lot here, because our live stream, we've really invested in the production value and making it like a tune-in event. And
the best.
It's true that the Met Gala red carpet is not like, the stairs are not like anything else. And I think it might be because it's so contained. Like, it's, there's something even more high wattage about it being this very close, guarded. It's just the staircase and it's just between there. Like the Oscars, you got like a whole strip, everything spread out. Like, this is, people are timed within 5 minutes and they're, it is going through. There is no one slacking there.
Right. And it's just, I mean, fashion's biggest night. It's like, this is, everyone's paying attention. I feel like Oscars, you can miss a red carpet, catch up the next day. But like, there's something about Met Gala that I feel like, we're also talking to the Instagram team for this episode. It's like, you have to experience it in real time.
Well, here's the other thing. The Met Gala might be the only event I can think of, and I might be wrong about this, but where it's a blackout inside.
Right.
You
right.
don't know
that
what's happening.
So
like, once you get past the red carpet, you do not have eyes on that. So like the Oscars, you go inside with everyone. The whole show starts. Right. The Met Gala, by design, like, stickers are over people's phones. We have a handful of photographers inside, but that is it. The New York Times has a photographer, but you are not getting a bird's eye view into what's going on. So the carpet is your access point. And that makes it so much more important.
Yes. Yes. That's such a good point. I hadn't thought of that. Well, for my final question, I'm going to ask you the question. I'm sure you get asked at every dinner party. You're probably so sick of it, but we just have to talk about the fact that your mom played a Vogue editor.
I thought you were going to say, do you actually get to borrow clothes from the Vogue closet, which people do ask me. And that, sadly, the answer is no.
Oh my gosh. So your mother on Sex and the City played one of the best characters on Sex and the City. What was the character's name?
Enid Frick.
Wow. Yes, Enid Frick.
You know what's funny about that is that I was in high school when that was filmed. And I obviously, as like, you know, a 17-year-old or whatever, loved Sex and the City. And so I got to go to that shoot day. So I went to the offices at Four Times Square. And now in retrospect, then I worked there 15 years later. And so it did come full circle. I mean, you know, we should all be clear that this is a more poetic version of just confirming that I did have a leg in the door. Like, I knew people who knew people. Like, it is a sort of a nepo baby moment, which I totally take ownership of. But yes, I came back there. And yes, my mom is sort of amused by that, but I feel like other people find it more charming. Sarah Jessica Parker, we saw recently, and thinks it's extremely charming.
I think it's just like the coolest thing. And I'm like, did it influence you? Like, did you want to become a Vogue editor subconsciously, like seeing your mom?
No, not at all. I wanted to, I always wanted to be a journalist, but not in fashion. So that was a disconnect for me at the time.
Well, we're so excited to see what you wear, how you cover it. You said 100 pieces of content over 48 hours. God bless. But you've got the in-laws in place, which is so important. As a mother, I understand. That's like, got to get the kids secured, and you've got your beauty team figured out. So I feel like you're in good hands.
And I had to get Sir John's take on Met Gala.
So we are like Met Gala's in 6 days.
Yes.
Fashion, beauty, the biggest night, right? Like, for me, it's like, I imagine how people get excited about the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's how I feel about Met Gala.
It's the Olympics. It's the Super Bowl. It's the biggest day on the calendar for us.
Yes. For like beauty professionals.
Creatives, stylists, storytellers.
Even I feel like the people walking the carpet is probably a huge day for them too.
Oh my God. I want to say it's bigger than the Oscars. It should be. because there's so much more like imagination that
right.
goes into that evening. It's the first Monday in May, which May is magical in this sense. It's New York. It's weather has just broken.
Yes.
It's nice outside. So it's not like the Academy Awards or the Oscars where,
right.
you know, it's still happening semi-winter as you're getting ready. But everyone wants to feel involved in the creative. I think that that's one of the things that I look forward to the most.
Yes. Okay. So what is the energy like around Met Gala? Like just as you approach those stairs, like just what is the energy like there on the ground when you're like doing someone's glam?
It gives you a little bit of anxiety.
Yes, when I would imagine.
You have so many people like yelling and you're not wanting to get in anyone's way or spot or anything like that. But it's a big, beautiful party. One thing I love also is that this day specifically is not just about the talent. It is. But it's also about this groundswell of, you know, unity and like alignment that these creatives put together for the talent.
Yes.
So this is when everyone else's star power kicks in.
It's the team. And it's also probably when you have the most runway to be creative, right? Like the makeup doesn't have to take a back seat.
No, there should always be harmony. There should always be harmony. You're right. Everything should run parallel. Whenever you see people who really kill it or nail it on the carpet, any space or any place, you'll see that their team work together.
Yes. Yes.
For sure.
Take me through what the Met Gala planning process is like.
Yeah.
Like, do you see the picture of the dress? Do you talk to your talent about what they're going to, like, how does it all come together?
Yeah. It definitely starts with the wardrobe. And so, you know, usually I've done the Met the more times or the most with Beyonce. And so like when it comes to, we'll get a brief from one of the stylists. And so we'll start to all look at what the inspiration, were the sketches, what was okay. the look and feel, what's the theme of the evening?
Yes.
The theme has so much to do with the direction that you're gonna go or how you can storyboard. Cause we all go back and we start to storyboard or pull images and start to create a world that can add to the world.
Okay, you know? Yes. Now, you did 20, what was the first year you did with Beyonce, 2016?
I don't know the first year.
I'm going to pull up the okay. image and have you jog your memory because okay.
I know my first Met Ball has always been with Joan Smalls.
Okay, yes, that was with like, the purple lipstick.
Yeah, purple lipstick was one. We broke the internet on that. We both got cosmetics contracts. She heard with Lauder, myself with L'Oreal Paris.
Yes.
And after that, she went with Olivier from Balmain the next year. And then she went with Tom Ford the year after. So that's Joan and I've always had such a beautiful, beautiful like history together creating and making magic for editorial. She was my first Vogue cover. So, yeah.
Now, purple lipstick is a bold choice.
Now it may not be, but then it was like so unorthodox and so rebellious.
This was, 2014. So what does it look like to have talent trust you to that degree where you say, like, we're just going to go for it?
Well, she was wearing a dress by Vera Wang. And so the dress, she wanted to make a little bit more of a statement. And
yes,
so
it was a very classic dress,
It's a classic dress. And so she was like, hey, listen, this is what we're going to do with the dress. And so we were like, okay, so can we have some fun? We didn't want to go smoky. We wanted to go with a statement lip because that holds up well on the carpet.
Okay.
And so we started pulling in violets and fuchsias. And then it went a little more purple. And then, you know, we actually went there. And so I found this indie company at the time. I don't want to say it was Beauty Bakery or someone. And then they actually made a purple for us, like grape.
Oh, wow.
And so it was so beautiful. And then the next morning, it was all over Allure and Vogue.com and, you know, Marie Claire and Glamour and everything else. So it was fun. We had a lot of fun.
Did you know when you sent her out and, like, saw her on the carpet that was going to be one of the top beauty looks of the night? Like, could you sense it?
Okay, humbly stated, I have an idea.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll do something and then it's like, okay, she's going to look beautiful, this person, whoever the person is. And then sometimes you get this instinctive feeling, this vibe, you know, oh, we about to fuck it up tonight. We about to do our thing tonight.
Right.
And that feeling is often coupled with you weren't safe. You went out of your safety zone.
Mm.
And either execute it really well or will the audience love it? Will they not like it? I've had a time when an audience didn't love what I did one night. We loved it. But
oh wait, what was this time?
I don't know if I want to talk about it, but it was a graphic eye I did on Beyonce when she wore the Givenchy latex with the pearls.
Oh my gosh, no, I loved that.
And yeah, it was fun. It was, we had a good time, and it was very symmetrical. The designer liked it.
Listen, sometimes it takes time for people to catch up.
But compliments and criticism, they come from the same space, so you can't allow them to move the needle for you creatively or emotionally when you're really invested in the talent or the thing or the night or the evening. So
yes. Okay, I'm going to show you this, the 2015 look, to jog your memory.
Okay. Okay. Oh, yeah, I remember this guy.
Let me explain it for people. She's in a bejeweled, bedazzled gown. And this was also an iconic hair night for Beyonce because I was at that high.
Shout out to Neil Farina. This didn't start out as a high pony. This started out as a bun. It started out as a bun.
Okay.
And she wasn't feeling it before she left the house. So we didn't see it like this until.
The carpet.
Yeah. Well, we might. Yeah. So at that point, it was like, oh, okay. And so she started working it and throwing it and turning it.
Yes.
And it was, and it became memorable. Yeah.
But the makeup, it feels like you almost like held back a little bit. Like the dress is so bejeweled and bedazzled, but then her skin just looks so good. It's just like, like I'm looking at her glam and it's just like skin.
Yeah. I love skin. I like that's, if I'm known for anything else, it's like light reflective golden skin, right? And so I really wanted her to look like herself, but also there's this very thin, super elongated, like Japanese anime liner that I use, and like a little bit of a pea green eyeshadow behind the liner that you can't see. But for me, was like, how do we create like supernatural skin, but still mattifying the T-zone, but making sure everywhere else is like super radiant, like ultra high wattage complexion.
And do you do like a test before Met Gala? Like, do you like do a test for the makeup, or you just kind of have it in your head? Do you sketch it? Do you get it approved?
Well, so we have an idea. And the thing is, at this point in my career, every day is the day. Every day is Super Bowl.
You're right.
Every day is like, you know, the Met. You don't have the ability to test on anything. But we pull references and we try to get it pretty close to a reference and then our own interpretation or explanation. So if I, you know, I love references. I'm an art school kid, you know, so I want to go back to, like, I remember when she was pregnant with the twins, and this was at the Grammys, and she wore this gold situation, you know, with the headpiece, and she had that piece of gold paper. I went to Michael's and
got
for her.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
But also what was really interesting is that when we were looking at this, it wasn't like some kind of reference to like Hail Mary. No, like guys, this is from during that space that we're talking about, that this is a biblical reference. No, it's from the Byzantine era. Like this is a Byzantine, which was 1,000 years around the era of Christ, you know, that needs its own, that has its own reference, that actually has a wall inside of the Met museum around the Byzantine era. So whenever you go into the Met, you go in, hang a left past the Egyptian wing, and you'll see this beautiful, glorious Byzantine and Roman influence on fashion. And that was kind of what that look gave for the Grammys.
That's incredible. I mean, I feel like Met Gala is such an opportunity to pull from art, to pull from culture, to really kind of create fantasy in a way that you can't do with other award shows, other moments.
Oh, yeah. Now, and you know what? The thing is, a lot of people try to create fantasy and take chances at other award shows, but there's something so different about Fashion's Night, you know?
Right.
So when we look at Music's Night, when we look at, you know, the Academy Awards, that's Movies Night.
Right.
But
this is the biggest night in fashion night. Yeah, the biggest night in fashion,
right. So you're going to take a risk. You want to take a risk with the... You know what Beyonce told me recently when we were shooting the cover of CR, Karim Rockfield? And so we had some references. You can't take risks without a good team. Only take risks with the best talent. When you take risks with talent that is not as experienced, it doesn't look as elevated.
Right, right. Yes. And you certainly, that CR editorial, you took some incredible risks.
Andrew Aura, who's the hairstylist, who's my partner in crime. When you have the ability to co-create, it gets chills even thinking about it, with other artists of our time, it's so amazing. It's almost like akin to how I can imagine a musician feels when they can get a chance to go into the booth and sing together or rap together.
Right.
Like that flow of creativity and artistry, it creates time capsules throughout history.
Is there anything you want to see more of on the carpet?
Ah, that's a good question. Yeah. You know what? I love the theme this year. And so how do you describe the theme?
Garden of Time. Garden of Time. I have a lot of thoughts about Garden of Time.
Why?
You know, I was thinking, okay, if I'm thinking Garden of Time for hair, I'm thinking, okay, something with florals and like bringing in flower elements. But then as I was talking to Nikki Nelms, she was saying, we go based off of the outfit, off of the garment. We don't, you know, we don't create in a silo, which is what you're saying too. Like kind of the gown leads.
I can push back on that.
Okay,
Nikki,
so tell me.
And I'll tell you, hey, what's up, baby? I love Nikki. But if you really think about it, some people do either or, right? Because I can imagine a dress that would be like, do you remember Han showed up with this huge headpiece?
Harrison Reed?
Yeah.
Harrison Reed, yeah.
And so that was all about this beautiful crowning.
Exactly. Like piece. I would be hair first. Like
hair
I would
first, right?
I would be like, yeah, hair and makeup first.
and then simple, you know, it could have been a simple Chanel cock, like, you know, long gown or something to that effect. But it depends on the person. I can see some, like Solange, I can imagine.
Yeah.
She's done some cool things with a latex durag,
right?
You know, remember that?
Yeah, of course.
And the dress wasn't as much, so it's always case by case.
Yes, yes. So, what do you think of this theme?
I love it. I love any garden organic theme.
Yes.
Me personally, you know me.
You,
I love florals.
You love plants.
I think botanical gardens is the ultimate eternal way. It's evergreen.
Yes.
It's the way back to nature when everyone's running to AI. The fact that we're running to something organic and that's completely timeless is, for me, a dream.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to see like flower? Like, do you think people are going to do petals on the face? Like, do you think we're going to see those elements?
I think that people are going to be daring with on the head for sure.
Yes. Yes. I'm so excited to see how people interpret.
What would you do?
I would definitely do like a floral headpiece moment. And then I would do a vintage, like truly like go into the archives, get like vintage Halston, like 70s. I like picking a decade like for my looks, you know, like for the dinner that, you know, I'm like, it's 90, it's early 90s Chanel.
Yeah.
The makeup's going to be early 90s, matte. Like, I've already pulled my... I like decades. So I think I would do 70s and flowers and, like, wear an iconic 70s designer.
That sounds great. You know, I can so see you in Halston and, like, this beautiful flowing, like, trapeze.
Yeah.
Because it does remind you of, like, Diana Ross or Minnie Riperton
Yes, Minnie Riperton. Right. I need to know, for your first Met Gala... Were you nervous? And then now, more recently, you did, you know, make it for Met Gala last year. Do you still have this like butterflies moment, or do you feel like, oh, it's just another day at the office?
So I would say the first time I got the call to go to Met, it was Kyle Hagler. He was representing Joan Smalls. And so at the time, I was still Charlotte's assistant, still Charlotte Tilbury's assistant, still working in the strip club in Queens doing makeup.
Yep.
I was at Streeters at the time, which is a really great agency. And so I was like really like starting to do my thing. And so Joan and I were like the Bonnie and Clyde of that space, like fashion or whatever at the time. All the shows, she would wait in line. All the girls were waiting in line for me. And then I was like, Met Ball, okay. All right. Okay. And then I had to research a little bit because this is before like it started breaking the internet.
Right.
It started to break the internet maybe a couple of years later.
Okay.
So I knew what we wanted to do. I wanted her to just look her most glamorous. And we've had so many beautiful Met looks together. Like the history, most of my portfolio was always Joan and Jordan Dunn's face. Joan, Jordan Dunn.
The most beautiful women in the world.
It was just like exciting. And then I was so shocked to see press the next day. Like I'm a makeup artist.
Right.
So to like wake up the next morning and everyone wants a quote.
Right.
Was unheard of to me. I didn't understand why.
Right. Everyone's like, talk to us about this purple lip. How did you do it?
Oh, yeah. And what does it take to get like, so I remember... I love the moments that, you know, beauty creates. Beauty creates so many moments that becomes a shockwave or a value to so many. And so people can't feel like I can have that dress, the Tom Ford dress. I can't go to this dinner with Tom Ford.
Right.
But I can get this lipstick. I can do my eyeliner or lift my brows in the same way that Naomi does or Linda Evangelista or whoever. And so then years later, how do I feel? I remember then at the height of like what I wanted to do was... I wanted to do more with Beyonce all the time. But I remember that one with the ponytail was just the biggest red carpet, I think, ever. It broke the internet for all of us.
Oh my God. It was like iconic when she stepped up. You know what's so interesting? Because like kind of see-through dresses now are like, we don't, but like at the time, that was like, oh my God.
Like bad.
Yeah,
like,
it was like, oh my God. Like,
what was fun is the fact of like getting the anticipation of what is going to happen, what's going to look like. Will it translate well? I think that's the biggest thing in the back of anyone's head. Right. Hairstylist, makeup artist, stylist.
Right.
Talent.
Will it translate?
Will it translate? Under the lights, you know, out on the carpet. Sometimes you don't often know what the color of the carpet is. I don't love doing any makeup for the Emmys or for any daytime awards.
When they have all of those busy logos in the background?
No, because it's daytime still. Whenever it's a day carpet, it's horrible for lighting. It's horrible. You got
right,
shadows.
Right, because it's not controlled.
And it's not controlled. And you want the night because you want the flash. The flash illuminates. If a flash is like concealer. Like, don't ever take a picture with me without a flash. Where's your flash, bro?
Okay. Like, I'm learning.
But you want that illumination for the gown, for the jewels, for everything night can provide. The night is the only time you want to hit the carpet.
Okay. Wow, I'm learning so much. And so more recent Mets, like, do you still feel nervous? Do you still get butterflies? Does it still feel like, or are you just kind of like, I'm in my comfort zone. Like, I've been here. I've done this.
I hate to say this, but I don't have the same nerves as I used to have. The nerves that I have are for, because I know now when we're happy in this room, everyone's going to be happy.
Right.
Because we're so OCD about what we do. We're, you know, such perfectionists that if it makes it out of this room,
right.
Screw everybody else.
Exactly.
But I really wish that I was not more excited. At some point, and I'll say this to any person who is an artist, and this is the contrasting element or to artistry. How you feel about the art changes. We're all storytellers. Mm-hmm. And so you start to, whenever there are contracts involved, with your art and, you know, agents and licensing deals, whenever you are separated from the gift, because it doesn't belong to us. It's not ours to keep or to, you know, how did they say it was gatekeep? It's a vehicle. Something works through you when you are an artist. But when all those things come between you and the art, it changes how you feel about the art. Mm-hmm. It does. It changes how you know, this light bulb that comes in and makes you feel so inspired and that you would just do anything to just do it again. It changes and it becomes, you have to find your way back to the magic. You do.
Yes. Well, it's been such a pleasure talking to you about Met Gala.
Friend of the show, the incredibly talented hairstylist Nikki Nelms.
Okay. So for listeners, we are T-minus 7 days away from the Met Gala. And Nikki, this is, how many Met Galas have you done before?
I don't know. I know my first one was with Serena.
Well, you've done Venus Williams, Serena Williams, Zoe Kravitz, Janelle Monáe. You've done a lot of hair for the Met Gala. You've done it all. Well, one of the questions that I'm so curious to ask all of the makeup artists and hairstylists we're talking to is, why is the Met Gala different from every other event? What makes the Met Gala different?
It's just the energy around it. It represents a time when you can do the most, and it's like doing anything less than the most is like not the thing, you know? And as a creative, we always want an opportunity to do the most, because sometimes we have to pull back because of, like, you know, the event. But this event promotes just going all out and being as creative and dancing with the fashion as possible. So it's like, you know, it's fun. It's kind of like fashion's version of the hair show for me.
Like
Warner Brothers, you know?
right. Yes. I mean, it's like the hair and the beauty and everything gets pushed to the absolute limit to create fantasy. It's not about looking like yourself. It's about I mean, it's a costume institute. It's a costume ball. When I look at the work that you've done with your clients, Nikki, I feel like there has to be a certain amount of trust to really go big on these moments, because you're doing things that in a lot of instances haven't ever been done before or seen before. I know that you're really close with Janelle Monáe, who you collaborate with a lot. How do you build that trust with your clients to really go there and create a fantasy look?
Well, I appreciate them trusting me, because I feel like that's when I'm better, when I'm like comfortable you know, it, me having to worry about them worrying about if they like me or like what I'm going to do or like the vibe, like that's off the table. So now I can just focus all of my energy on producing or enhancing whatever thought comes into my mind, you know, it's like a flow. So it's easier. I don't really think about them trusting me, but I know that it feels good. It feels better because I don't have to think about them. It's like a dance. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it's second nature. Like we just can, we jump into it and we get it. You know, it's not something that I have to worry about. Like I don't have to sell them anything because they trust that where I'm coming from, it's coming from my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And I really trust my gut.
Yes.
Like I trust it too much sometimes. I'm like, I have one option at a time, you know, like sometimes clients want like four ideas to choose from. Honestly, I have like one at a time. I'm like, this is all that's coming to me for this look, you know? And they're like, I'm like, I could try and think of something else, but I don't believe in it. Like when I see something, you just know. It's like a dress when you know the shoe that will work. Like you know if an open toe or a strappy, whatever will work. You like, you know when a boot won't work. So it's kind of like that for me. It's like, I know when a ponytail won't work. So I don't even think about that, you know? It like just doesn't come up to me.
I think you did such a good job of complimenting the hair with the look. Like I think about the updo you did. It was Zoe Kravitz had her famous braids, which, you know, we've talked about you and the Zoe Kravitz braids, but you put them up in this kind of like French roll twist that was very sculptural. And her dress was completely backless and also kind of see-through, but like the hair was just so perfect for that dress.
The thing with Zoe, what I love, like she is such a visionary. She makes my job easy for more than one reason. For one, she's so gorgeous. So it's like, I could do nothing and it looks like I did everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you pair that with like, she has ideas. She knows what she wants as well as she like trusts me. Like, that's so cool that it kind of feels like we can read each other's minds or like I know what to omit or what won't work and she trusts it. So it's easy for her.
I have a very practical question for you.
Okay.
The day of Met Gala, how much time, like let's say, what time do you have to be on the red carpet? 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock? Like how much time?
Everybody gets a different time. Like you're not everybody, but sometimes like 1 year, Janelle and Zoe at the same time. And so they had to be out at the same time.
And you were doing
and
both
that
of
was
their hair?
I did both of them and it was crazy because I think like Zoe stayed like basically they were like 20 blocks apart.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait. Because the other thing that I feel like we have to explain for the listeners is the Mark Hotel is kind of like base camp for the Met Gala. Like everyone's
the Mark and the Carlisle.
Everyone's kind of running between all of these floors. You see stylists and it's just like pandemonium. But they weren't staying at the same hotel and you had to get them both ready at the same time.
Yeah, it was like, and I had like Sha'Carri that year and Venus, but I was like, it was so crazy. They had to be, and I have a picture of them making it on the carpet. They were both there at the same time and they were across from each other. So the photographers that got one, the face of one, they got the back of the other.
Wow. And, of course you did.
And I think they saw each other. They were like, wait, how did you... They asked, they were like, how did you do that? And I was like, I'm not alive right now. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It was really hard, but I try to make the people that work the elevators my friends in advance.
Smart. How far ahead of time do you know what they're going to wear? Like, do you get images of the final look and then you base the hair off of that?
Yeah. For Matt, you do get the look a little further in advance than most other events, but it can always change. So, you know, it is still,
so it could change last minute.
It could change or something could happen or it could be tweaked or sometimes they have maybe two options and then they like, I don't know, you know, it's so crazy. That's what makes it fun. you don't know 100% until like they're out the door. You're like, okay, that was a look, you know?
Right. Now, okay, without giving away any of the creative elements, this year's theme, the Garden of Time, do you think that's going to be an interesting theme to interpret through hair? I'm like so curious if people are going to bring like floral elements into their hair. I'm like very excited about this theme.
I'm going to be honest. I take my direction from the look, from the dress, you know?
Got it.
Like
got
where
it.
They land with the dress, then I'll work around that because sometimes forcing that with maybe the look might need a different kind of help or a different kind of support from hair. It could come off giving like arts and crafts too much if you're just trying to force something. So I just kind of flow, you know, I let it, passion. I let the look tell me what to do. Like the look is my boss.
Yes. Okay. That actually makes sense. Okay. Now my final question for you is it still exciting to do the Met Gala as a hair artist, hairstylist? Do you still get butterflies and excitement and feel that like joy when you see the look on the red carpet?
Well, I'm always nervous. I'm nervous when I'm not nervous. Like I'm scared when I'm not nervous because it feels like I'm probably out of the zone that I prefer to be in, which is like not full of myself, relying on God to fill me with, you know, ideas. When I'm not nervous, and to me, that feels like I think that I have it and I don't like that. So I'm always nervous, period. But the type of nervousness that I get from something that I do a lot is not nervous and excited to see it, but like, I hope everything goes smoothly because I get bored easily. And so I get fulfillment and joy from pushing myself. Like instead of doing one client, you know, I'll do two and then I'll do three and then I'll do four, you know? And I'm like, oh, shit. Like this year, I really got myself into something crazy because
you're doing so many
I'm actually not doing the most I've ever done, but it's the way I'm doing it. Like I'm landing from Prague the day before and I have to like never go home and go straight to prepping somebody, whoever, you know, I guess the schedule will reveal itself. And then Met is the next day. And then after that, I'm leaving from Met to go to London. So I'm having to pack right now for the week of work and shoots in Prague and then to Met and then to London. You know what I mean?
Oh my gosh. Well, I hope you take a moment in all of the craziness to just know that you are doing truly incredible things, creating true art, true fantasy, and me and all of your other fans just like love to see it. I look forward to seeing what you create every single time. This is coming out on Met Monday. So as people are listening to this, they can go to Nikki's feed. I know it's going to be amazing.
My first opportunity talking to the incredible hairstylist, Jawara.
Well, yes. I'm so excited to talk to you about Met Gala. So for the listeners, how many days out are we? Met Gala's in 4 days?
Yeah, 4 days.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. I'm feeling great, actually, about what's taking place this year. I decided to do two people this year. There's been times when I did three or four days. I keep it to one or two, particularly. So this year, I'm super excited about the two that I am doing, who happen to be great friends of mine, but clients as well. It's not as stressful as doing three, especially when people are based all over the city, driving up and down New York City, doing all that traffic, trying to get to three clients within a 6 hour span. So you have 2 hours with everybody. Never do it again. I'll never do it again.
Sounds chaotic. I want to talk about two of my favorite Met Gala looks you've done. One being Anouk Yai in 2021. That just like perfect pixie cut. I know you work with Anouk a lot, but tell me about creating that hair moment.
That for me was a special moment. We created this pixie cut on Anouk because every time I get around her, she's such a great canvas to work on, but there's something so striking about her face with short hair that we wanted to kind of like capture that. And she had a dress that had a lot of embellishments, and it was like a little shawl situation, and it was like loads and loads and loads of jewelry. So we felt like to complement that, it would be a really beautiful to do like a really shiny lacquered texture, pixie cut, like piecey in a sense of like, you know, when the hair sticks together and like creates these like, wave-like looks, I call it, when it's me. That seemed to work really, really well on her when we tested it. And so we did it for the Met and it looked amazing.
And so how do you get the hair to be shiny like that? Are you using a specific hairspray, like a hair, like how do you get that shine?
Well, it depends. There's sometimes I do a super duper shine or we do wet. It all depends. But I like to use loads and loads and loads of oil sheen. Sometimes I use product called Queen for a Day that kind of gives the hair a wet look if you don't blow it out. I've also used the Color Wow Shine. There's a product that they have that you, it has like a very lustrous shine to it. It kind of makes the hair look so like wet, like almost underwater in a sense. Ooh. And I love to use olive oil sheen to just douse the hair with it to kind of give it like a really, really good shine.
Depending on olive oil.
Yeah. Good old olive oil.
And then I love the look you did for Paloma. I think it was for the Gilded Age year. It was kind of like these beautiful curls in the front. Like it was just so beautiful. It felt like timeless, elegant, glamorous. What was it like creating that look?
We did a few looks before we ended up there. One of the looks that we did, the hair, we created these waves that like ascended off the head in a bit, and we thought that was just a bit too much, so we made a variation of it where it's a bit lower, and I feel like it complemented her face so well. Paloma was such a beautiful woman. She carried it really well, and I feel like the red, she had a really vibrant red dress that we wanted to complement with like a classic beauty but like a weird take on it, so we kind of just placed the curls in the not normal way and kind of created that cascading down her back. It was really, really, that was a good one. Personally, I like that.
Well, yeah. As you're talking, it seems like to me that you have an opportunity to test the looks before they actually go on the carpet, like before the actual day. Do you have an opportunity to actually test the looks before they go onto the carpet?
It all depends. There's sometimes we sit in on the fitting and it depends. With different people, the process starts different. I think for me, I like to speak to the person a couple of days before, sometimes weeks before, send notes, send mood boards back and forth with their team, going back and forth, trying to get the vibe of like what feeling they're in outside of what they're wearing. What feeling are you in? What do you want to convey? You know, like, are you feeling shorter? Are you feeling longer? Do you want to do color? Are conversations that go back and forth before. Some people allow a test day during the fitting where we can go in and test the style. And then some people, we kind of just like make it up right then and there. I've also been in situations where we plan this whole look and as the person's getting dressed and they're about to go out the door, we change it. There's been times when I did a whole different hairstyle in 10 minutes. So it's like,
oh God.
Yeah. It's just one of those things that you just kind of know, like you can spend so much time on this look and so much time on preparing the look, but as the person's getting dressed or things are progressing, you know.
It can become something totally different.
Yeah.
Why is doing hair for the Met Gala different from every other event?
It feels a bit different because I think a lot of things that I tend to do, like fashion shows and campaigns and runways and stuff like that, I feel like the camera lends to the hair a bit more. And I feel like shooting hair is different as opposed to doing it for an event where that kind of has to stay throughout the whole event. And you're wondering like what the person's going to be doing 2 hours after they leave you. Would it look this way? So it's like, it's a different preparation, but there's something about the Met that I think that brings out the best, the glam. we get to experiment in ways that I don't feel like a lot of other red carpets lend us to. You know, sometimes things are a bit conservative, and I think with the Met you can kind of go all out and do something really beautiful or do something really wild or do something with a punk edge or do something with an exotic edge. And I think that event lends to that for sure.
Absolutely. When you were asked to do hair for the Met Gala for the first time, did it feel like a career peak? Like, what does it mean for a hairstylist, makeup artist, stylist to find their way to the Met Gala, like the, one of the biggest nights in fashion, in beauty?
Well, I think it's a really, really amazing and important place when you are asked for that. I think that to see so many people travel from all over, this is the night where you can show your talent, show your skills, but also, like, you know, where beauty is praised. I think sometimes a lot of people are very afraid to go into like really, really, really intricate and out there glam. So, you know, for the beauty industry, it's an amazing place to use and sell your talents and show your gifts. I think personally, my first time I got asked, I was asked by Solange Knowles, and that was such an amazing time for me, because she is such a thought leader when it comes to the way she presents herself, and she's extremely innovative. And I think for me, that's exciting, because I knew that I wouldn't be ending up doing anything boring. And, you know, I just loved her style personally, and I loved what she did with her hair. And so that to me was a very, very special time.
Yes. Yes. So do you still get nervous doing the Met?
Yeah, sometimes it all really depends, because you see all the teams, you see things come together. And then with me and my crazy self taking on 2 or 3 people, trying to get there in time, you know, what if something happens? What if something changes? What if the outfit changes? You know, like, I get nervous because you never really know. You never really know until the person is fully dressed and ready to go. And then it's also like just being able to lend yourself to 3 different people without the other feeling like, oh, where is he? You know, so I make sure I have my team and everybody's there with me that can carry out things if I'm like step away and come back. So yeah, I do get nervous to answer your question.
What do you think about this year's theme, the Garden of Time?
It's interesting. I would love to see what people interpret that as with their looks. I'm super, super excited to see that and what that looks like.
I'm so excited. So do you kind of look at what the person is wearing as the starting point, or do you think about the theme also?
Well, first and foremost, I think about where the person is with their vibe and their feelings. I think that has a lot to do with everything. I like to talk to the person just to see where they are. You know, there's sometimes people who have just had kids, or sometimes people have just, like, you know, felt like, you know what, I'm so tired of wigs, I want to do my natural hair. I always talk to them first to see like where they are. And then I talk about the outfit, because I think that's really important. It is a dance between you and the stylist, and if they have a creative director, the creative director, but also, like, you know, the person and their team and what you guys are trying to convey with the message of the beauty. And then there's also another conversation with the makeup artist. Like, you know, sometimes it's the hair plays off the makeup and the makeup plays off the hair. You know, it depends on what's going on. So there's definitely a lot of things to put into consideration when you're thinking about the hair, as opposed to just going straight into what the hair should be. And I'm also a firm believer, there's a lot of times you can see people with amazing, beautiful hair, but you can tell that the person does not feel that. That would just put on them. So my first thing is to talk to the person to see like where they are and, like, you know, what do you feel? Because I feel like hair is such an intimate thing. It's probably the most intimate thing
True.
To me that day. So I always like to talk to the person to see like where they are as far as it concerns with as far as it pertains to their hair.
That is so true. And I love what you're saying about kind of working with the person. And the fact that you get to work with these women that are such muses and just style stars, like Solange, Anouk, Paloma, like, these are women that have a point of view about how they want to look. And just like, when I see them on the carpet, they always carry it in such an incredible way.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been also fortunate to work with Alicia Keys for the Met. I've also been fortunate to work with Cassie for the Met. I've also been fortunate to work with Serena Williams for the Met. I take it as an honor, honestly, to do this event. And it's one of the times where I feel like I can step away from the fantasy, like, fashion stuff that I do and do something that feels a bit more like still beautiful, but also just like real in a sense. Of course, there's times when I take it out of the park with the realness and I go into fantasy on the carpet. But
yes,
for the most part, I like to, you know, I like to do it because it feels pretty good to see your work on carpets and being lived in, as opposed to just taking pictures of it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The final question I want to ask you, it relates to this beautiful editorial you did for CR Fashion Book featuring Beyonce, and Sir John did the makeup. You did the hair. The hair that you did was just so incredible. I feel like we've never seen Beyonce like that. And what Sir John said was, there has to be a certain amount of trust, and you have to be working with the best to take risks. Yes, and I want to know from you, how do you engender trust with the women you work with? How do you get them to feel comfortable so that they can take these risks?
Well, like what I've mentioned before, hair is such a personal thing, and there's been so much things tied to people's hair and what they've been through that you know, you have to really approach it, I think, in somewhat of an intimate way. Gaining the trust is, for me, is allowing people to understand that they're in good hands, first and foremost. My approach to hair is a bit more personal than anything else, because I feel like hair is personal.
When you say that you want it to be intimate and personal, what does that actually look like? Is it like having the conversation beforehand with the person?
Having conversation, sometimes it's meeting the person, sometimes it's having conversation, sometimes it's a constant talk. There's times when I sit with the person alone and ask everyone to leave, kind of thing, and just have like real intimate conversations, because there's so much that we hold in our hair. It's not anything that you can put on and take off. It's such an important thing, and I feel like that's one of the things that I want to really convey in any message that I send through hair, is how personal it is to us.
A therapist.
There's a little element of spirituality in it as well. It's making people feel like, I got you. Trust me, I got you. And you know, I'm not here to show how amazing of a hairstylist I am, if that's not something that you would wear or do. I think it's really being in tune to the person and listening to their needs and thoughts, and while looking at their body language, looking at how they feel when, you know, when certain things are around, or like what they like. So that's what I try to do, for sure.
Yes. And it definitely comes through in the work and the way when we see the hair on the carpet, you can tell like they are feeling it. They look great. I'm so excited to see what you do on Monday. I will be watching. And how are you taking care of yourself ahead of Met Gala? Are you doing facials? Are you getting extra rest? Are you taking, you know, extra supplements?
I usually do a facial by my esthetician, who I love her work so much. Her name is Vanessa Mark. That usually calms me down.
Yes,
she does great work based in Midtown, New York. So I like to try to see her before this. And then, you know, meditations, prayers, and just really honing into going into my studio, making sure that the prep is done right, and you know, not get too stressed about things. So I'm prepared.
Yes.
I
love that energy. Again, so excited to see what you create and to meet you on Monday and congratulate you in real time on all of your incredible work and accomplishments. But yes, take good care of yourself this weekend. And thank you so much for giving us your time to chat.
Let's get into my conversation with Instagram's Christy Dash.
So Christy Dash, welcome to Naked Beauty. I actually can't believe this is your first time on. We need to do like a whole deep dive hour-long episode, but what better occasion than the Met Gala for this to be your first time on the podcast?
Thank you so much for having me. It's truly an honor. I'm so excited to talk.
I want to explain one thing about you that I think is so interesting. If you brought everyone in the beauty industry together, makeup artists, brand founders, creators, and they all had to know one person in common, it would be Christy Dash. Am I incorrect? Because you work with everyone in beauty behind the scenes.
I mean, I hope that would be correct, but that is, no one's ever said it like that. And that's pretty cool. Thank you for saying that. I mean, that is really my job, is to be kind of the liaison between the beauty industry at large and Instagram/now all of Meta. So as the kind of platform has evolved over the years, that always sort of changes, whether it's, you know, we're focusing on shopping, which means I'm working more with brands or creators or creator founders. Like, I'm kind of the go-to gal for all things Instagram. So yes, I try to be of service to the beauty crew.
Yes.
You were the best coworker ever. You were part of that too. So it's so fun talking to you. And for those of you listening at home, like, it is just so, I'm so proud of you, Brooke, for everything that you've achieved. And I miss you at Instagram, but you're killing it.
Thank you. So we are a few days out. I know Instagram has this big beauty event, but I want to talk about what this night means for you and your job, because the Instagram live stream has become one of the, like, you can't miss. We talked to Chloe Mao over at Vogue, and she was talking about how important it is to watch the Met Gala in real time. What goes into basically making sure that we get to see the event in real time, like on our feeds? How are you briefing all of the amazing creators that you're working with? How are you talking to the brands about how they should show up and talk about Met Gala, the talent? What all happens behind the scenes to make it this like night where you basically have to be on your phone the whole time?
You're so right. You know, the beauty of Instagram in general, but especially on a night like Met Gala, is that you're getting a view into this glamorous moment from so many different kind of corners of the world and pop culture. So like, it's not just about the beautiful, final, polished image of the celebrity looking perfect on the red carpet, but like, obviously we're biased as beauty people, but hairstylists and makeup artists are for sure my favorite people to follow the night of Met Gala, because you're really getting that behind the scenes view of not only the final look, but what it took to get there, the inspiration, the literal product breakdown of exactly what products and shades they're using, the inspiration behind the look, the little details, like all that stuff, I feel like is just so much fun to follow along with. That's not even going into all the other corners of, like, you know, the commentators, the fans, like all joining in on the conversation. But I guess back to your original question, which is like, what's our role in this? I mean, I lead beauty partnerships for Instagram. We have a whole fashion team. We're really always kind of making sure the community stays educated and informed on how to best kind of utilize Instagram to tell their stories on nights like tonight. So it's not like a sudden kind of scramble to, you know, make sure people know what's going on, because hopefully we're doing our jobs and they know what's going on already. But in the beauty space, yeah, like I am hearing who's maybe working that night and answering questions, just being a resource to ensure that they feel ready to go on game night.
Yes. And I agree. That's such a pro tip for people listening. Like, follow the hairstylists and makeup artists. I feel like their content is sometimes better than the actual talent walking the carpet, because you get the real, like, behind the scenes. And I love when they show that the products that they're using, how they created the look. Sometimes you'll even get like a glimpse at a mood board, which is so cool.
Yeah, because even there are certain details that you don't see on the red carpet, which I know, I feel like is every stylist or artist, like, worst pet peeve is like when the photo just like maybe misses the angle where you can see the ribbon sewn into the hair, or, you know, like the tiny wing detail on the eye, right? That like matters to people like us, but maybe to an untrained eye, the photographer doesn't notice or care. So I feel like that's the kind of fun added detail that you get on Instagram that's just so special. And last thing I'll say, a lot of the celebrities now, I feel like, are becoming more open to posting that kind of like lower-fi content because of their glam squads around them that are almost like, yes, doing glam, but also it's like they're basically their social media managers on some level, because they're the ones there all the way up until they get their Sprinter van from the Mark or the Carlisle driving over to the Met and like sending them off. They're getting those pictures for their assistants and social team. So it's been a pretty cool thing to watch evolve.
I'm so happy you brought up the Mark and the Carlisle. Can you just explain the just fervor, to just the craziness in the air around Met Gala? It's a very intense thing to experience.
It's very intense. So I didn't know how big of a deal or like kind of circus was happening around the Mark Hotel and the Carlisle Hotel until Instagram started kind of supporting some activations around those hotels. So basically, a lot of the celebrities who are going to the Met get ready at these hotels because of their proximity to the actual Met Museum. And so over the years, a lot of paparazzi and fans kind of know that, like, that's where you can go to get really the first look, because even right. though, you know, I'm saying follow makeup artists and hairstylists for the first look, they have to respect the fact that, like, they actually can't post before the client has walked the red carpet. That's kind of rule of thumb for all red carpets. But if the fan shows up at right outside the door at the Marker Carlisle, that's actually where you're really going to get the first look. So the hotels have been doing live streams on Instagram to actually like kind of be able to take credit for that moment, which I'm not sure if there's any drama with like Vogue or Met, you know, and how that actually like they're kind of getting the first look on Instagram there for real. But yeah, it is just a madhouse. And I didn't know it existed until kind of more recently, I guess, as Instagram kind of brought that to light.
Yes. I remember when I was working last year, even to get into the building at like 12 p.m., like far before, they were like, where are your credentials? Why are you even walking on this block? Like, New York City blocks are blocked up. It's exciting. It's a very exciting time. I feel like we have to talk about the commentators, because I feel like Met Gala is one of those nights where like everyone becomes a fashion commentator, and like I live for it. I spend so much time looking at everyone's stories, but also this is the first year that we have Threads. So I'm very excited about all of the conversation that's going to happen on Threads. How are you and, you know, your team thinking about how Threads is going to add this new layer of conversation around Met Gala?
Yes. So Threads is having a moment right now. It's continued to grow. Brooke, we're obsessed with your Threads. You already know this, but guys, if you're not already following Brooke on Threads, do so immediately. So yeah, I think the cool thing about Threads is that, you know, of course, all these things we're saying around Instagram, whether it's live, feed, reels, et cetera, are happening generally in real time. I think the conversation, to be able to actually have it be completely in real time on Threads, is very, very cool. And we've launched various new ways to kind of find your community or the topic that you're looking into. We do have trending topics now, hashtags, et cetera. Definitely the hashtag Met Gala is going to be popping on Monday. So guys, follow hashtag Met Gala. But yeah, I think it's been really cool to see, especially I would say the fashion community has taken to Threads very quickly. And I think it was a really natural transition for a lot of the reporters and, you know, people who are just like comfortable with the written word, of course, to make that transition. And I also think it's been really interesting to see how, you know, because it's still a pretty new place to be on social media in the grand scheme of things, you're really able to kind of be noticed in a way by really legit, like established fashion and beauty people. I think beauty too, you know, obviously beauty is way more visual than, and a lot of the creators that we tend to work with are still, I think, finding their footing there, but there's a few, I mean, Brooke, you're included, but for those of you who care about, you know, hairstylists and makeup artists, which you likely do if you're following this podcast, I've been obsessed with following Kita Moore. His handle's Kill Pretty, K-I-L-P-R-I-T-Y. He's been so funny and like posting kind of these niche makeup artist jokes or like just things that, again, like I think it's really cool that you can kind of find your people there and be able to foster what feels like a, you know, really intimate kind of real relationship in a way.
Yeah, it's great. Now I'm going to ask you a poll question that Mandy Lee, known as Old Loser in Brooklyn, that's her handle, posted on Threads. She said, who in your opinion is the queen of the Met? And she had three options: Zendaya, Rihanna, or Blake Lively.
Oh my God, that's so hard. I mean, Rihanna.
Yeah.
Right?
That's who won the poll. But those are the things that, like, I think we all look forward to seeing what they wear every year. So what beauty moments stand out to you over the years of Met Gala? Is there like a beauty moment that you feel like was just really special, whether it was hair or makeup or someone just really made like a beauty statement?
Great question. I would say, well, there's so many fun pairings of, you know, makeup and hair teams who've worked with kind of the same celebrities over the years that I just like love following their journeys. Like the first thing that comes to mind is Vernon Francois and Lupita just do like the coolest looks every year. Otherwise, I mean, I feel like Lady Gaga has some looks. Like I think of her camp moment in like the big hot pink situation with like crazy eye makeup. That was really fun.
I totally agree. And this is a great place to round us out, because speaking of glamorous evenings, can you share a little bit about where we will be Monday night? Because can I just tell you, Christy, one, so honored to even be included. But I think for me, this event is more exciting than the Met Gala. Like, I can't think of a room I would rather be in. So would love for you to share a little bit for the listeners about where we will be Monday night.
We are so honored to have you, Brooke. So thank you so much for coming. So yeah, so Monday night is going to be this incredible dinner with, it looks like, over 100 top makeup artists and hairstylists who will be coming directly from sending their clients off to the red carpet of the Met. So this dinner is the 10th anniversary of legendary makeup artist Troy Surratt's dinner series. And he kind of started as an informal gathering of his friends and peers, because I think something really interesting about this group of artists is that, or creators in general, you know, every kind of corner of the industry has their own way of doing things. But like, when you think about these artists and how, yes, they're all kind of going to the same events, whether it's an award show or Cannes or Met Gala in this case, they're all in their own hotel suites with their clients. And there's not a lot of opportunity for them to actually come together as a community and have a reunion of sorts. So Troy had started this dinner series 10 years ago, and it's kind of turned into this big event that feels like, you know, everyone kind of knows it's going to happen every year. And Violet Grey has been a sponsor the last couple years, and I think really kind of made the event, you know, that much more special. And so we're just really excited to be a part of it. Again, Troy is just like a legend and knows so many incredible artists. And something I remember even just from the first year I went, but continue to hear from kind of the host committee, is it's going to be really cool because, although it's mostly dedicated to artists who are working the night of Met, because obviously we want to shine a light on those people behind the scenes, there's also going to be artists there who are just like icons who, you know, a lot of the next generation artists will just be very excited to meet. And to have that multi-generational kind of mixing, I think is so, so cool. And something I just love to see happen on Instagram, because it's like Instagram friends meeting in real life, or people that you've just followed forever on both Instagram and kind of the industry. So it's going to be great. We're so excited to see you. I feel like you're going to be the most like glamorous person there, because everyone will literally be sweaty and like makeup stained coming directly from their hotels. So
I've toned it down. I've reined it in. I've reined it in a little bit. But it's still going to be a look in a moment, because of course. But I'm like, yeah, Brooke, this isn't the time to show up in a ball gown. But I just think there's something so special about honoring the it's like Met Gala is Met Gala because of these creatives that come together to create this fantasy, right? Like it's the reason why I love beauty. It's like you create this dream and this fantasy and this visual, and you allow people to forget about whatever mundane stuff they have to do in their life, which we all have to deal with, and just have this night to just like consume eye candy. And like, I think there's something so magical about what these artists do. And I love that there's a space to kind of honor them and let them connect with each other.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I totally agree.
Yes. Thank you so much, Christy. This has been a wonderful interview.
Thanks for having me, Brooke.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Are you all feeling as hyped as I am for the Met Ball now? Like, after these conversations, I am so excited to see the red carpet. I'm so excited to see what everyone brings and really just to celebrate creativity. That's, I think, why at my heart, I really love the Met Gala. It is a celebration of true creativity, and it really recognizes fashion for the art form that it is. It recognizes beauty for the art form that it is, and it allows us to dream and think, and it just adds some romance to the everyday of life. I hope you all loved this episode. It was so much fun to put together and to hear from different perspectives, and I will be back next week with, let me just say it now, the interview of all interviews. And we've also got a special announcement coming Friday. So lots happening in the world of naked beauty. Thank you all so much for your support. And edited by the incredible MBA Kasanga, who just kills it every single week. And again, make sure you're subscribed to Naked Beauty. You do not want to miss what we have in store for you in the weeks ahead. All right, thank you all so much for listening. Make sure you're following me on Threads. Make sure you're following Naked Beauty Planet for all of the Met Gala discussion. And we'll talk soon. Now just change clothes and go. No, I stay fresh to death, boy, from the projects, and I'ma take you to the top of the globe. Let's go.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.